Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I should probably add myself to my own show. We're off to a fantastic start here on this Sunday night. But we're live as of just perfectly encapsulated by that beginning of the show. Today on this show, we're going to be talking a little bit about this Lakers schedule that released last week. I don't have a ton of notes about it because I just can't get myself to really care about an 82-game season. There are aspects of it that do matter from team to team. Some teams have more back-to-back. Some teams have, you know, some teams that they, you know, play certain teams only three times instead of four. The Lakers got a little lucky with some of the teams that they'll only be playing three times this year. It's still, though, 82 games. It's a slog. And any analysis that we're going to do of the schedule is made very difficult because the team that we're talking about on August 18th, as you guys are watching live, is going to be very different from the team that we're talking about on December 18th or even November 18th, October 18th. That's the only, and not just the team as in the Lakers, but every other team that they're going to be playing against might be different by the time, you know, we get to certain points in the season. So it's kind of hard to project outward that way. A lot of people like to, a lot of people do it really smartly. So I'll give my two cents on that matter. And then I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to let you guys steer the show. I already got a couple questions from Twitter. People are asking about, Jalen Hood-Schifino and Jared Vanderbilt and Gabe Vincent, and understandably so. So I'll talk about those guys. I'll answer your guys' questions here live as well. And let's get into the show. A quick reminder before we do so, please do hit subscribe to this show, wherever it is that you get your podcasts, preferably on Odyssey. If you guys are watching live right now, chances are you're subscribed. But if you're not, go ahead and slide on down there, scroll down, hit subscribe, and also hit like. That's the entry fee. You know, the cover fee as you're walking into a club or a bar or whatever. Your cover fee is just hitting like as you walk in and you sit down. And we all talk about this stuff on this fine Sunday evening. I'll go ahead and dive into the show and start with some of the schedule stuff, which, you know, the Lakers caught a couple breaks. They got a little unlucky in some other respects. Let's dive on in. So let's go with the beginning of the first portion of the season. I think is really interesting here because the league is kind of giving the Lakers a real opportunity to take advantage of the type of offseason that they had, where you're able to take full advantage of the continuity that you get by bringing back basically everybody. That was kind of the theme going into last year, was continuity and all of that stuff. Unfortunately, Darvin Ham was not on the same page as everybody else and missed the general modus operandi for last year's season. But, you know, you do have this opportunity now where all those guys have played now multiple years with each other, basically. And, you know, hopefully, you can take advantage of a relatively easier opening to this season It looked to me, just a quick glance, that the Lakers schedule is a little more backloaded with tougher games, which, you know, it's good and it's bad. But at the end of the day, you still have to take care of business whenever you can. But I think, you know, for what the Lakers are going to be looking to do, which is, you know, stack wins as much as you possibly can before you get into the trade deadline and transaction windows and all of that stuff. Like, you know, the Lakers should be able to, by way of some of these earlier stretches, and I can't believe I didn't have this pulled up already. They should ideally be able to head into that deadline, as long as people stay healthy, get healthy and stay healthy. They should be able to enter that deadline with, like, you know, a little momentum, a little, you know, they should be decently set in those standings so that Rob and Jeannie and Linda and Kurt and Tim and the rest of that front office that has looked basically for every excuse to not do stuff, you know, under the moon for the last few years, it would take away. Hopefully the Lakers were able to take away the excuse of, well, we're pretty mediocre. We don't really feel like there's enough that can be done here to take us from mediocre to championship, you know, favorite. And, you know, hopefully if the Lakers are a little bit better than mediocre, that ask of, all right, can you be taken from good to championship contender or championship favorite? I don't know if there's anything the Lakers could realistically do to become the championship favorite this year. But it's a very mediocre league. It's a, you know, parity is going to rule the day, I think, from here on out under this new CBA in the NBA. And as such, maybe that gap is not as wide for the Lakers to take those steps from, you know, like, I think right now they're pretty average. And maybe they're able to go from, you know, that step from average to good to really good and all those steps become smaller when everybody else is also pretty average and mediocre. So I do want to take a look right at the beginning of the season, though. It starts, obviously, on Tuesday, October 22nd. They play at home against the Minnesota Timberwolves. That'll be on opening night. That'll be, you know, they're once again in that doubleheader to kick off or tip off the season. And then they face, they have a couple days off, which is kind of nice. And then they play Phoenix also at home. And then they play Sacramento at home that following Saturday. So they play three games in the first four nights, which is, you know, kind of a difficult way to start off the season. But if you're going to have one of those stretches, you kind of want to have it right when everybody is freshest on your team. So I actually kind of think that they get a little lucky. They get a bit of a break there. All of those games being at home also, like if you're going to have a three games and four nights stretch, you would want that to be, you know, to take place where you don't have any travel involved. So again, a bit of a break there for the Lakers. And then from there, it goes Minnesota, Phoenix, Sacramento, Phoenix again, this time in Phoenix. You go on your first road trip of the season. You play at Cleveland, at Toronto, at Detroit, at Memphis, before coming home to face Philly. And that's your first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then Toronto would be your 10th game of the season. So right there, I see at least 5 wins, maybe 6 or 7. And if you start the season, you take advantage of that continuity. You rack it, you know, Hooper's X is asking me to stop saying stack wins. So what if we rack up wins? Is that okay? Is that compile wins? Is that an okay phrase? But if you're able to take advantage of that early slate, win a couple of the tougher games and take care of business against the teams that you should be taking care of business against, the Torontos of the world, the Detroits of the world. Memphis is going to be interesting. They're going to be better because they have all of their guys, but it's also, I think, going to take a bit of a little bit of time for those guys to, you know, kind of remember how to play together. They're also playing together, I think, for the first time, kind of collectively, and they're going to be doing so without Dylan Brooks for the first time. It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of handle that. They're still going to be good. I'd say pretty average also. Everybody is pretty average. But I think that, you know, the toughest games in there are going to be Phoenix, I think, improved this year. Philly obviously improved this year. So that being your ninth game of the season is going to be tough. Minnesota, I think, you know, stood pat. So, I thought the Lakers, I think the Lakers match up pretty well with Minnesota. Especially if Vanderbilt is healthy and he can kind of hope to contain Anthony Edwards a little bit, that makes me feel a little bit better about that matchup. Cleveland is too small. That's one of the better teams that you're going to be playing at the opening of your season, like you should be able to, like Sacramento beat the Lakers ass all year last year. I think they got a little worse. I really didn't like the DeMar DeRozan addition for Sacramento. But I do think, though, that like in that first stretch there, they should be able to walk out of it with some momentum so that by the time you get to your next 10 games, right, which go Memphis, San Antonio, New Orleans, Utah, Orlando, Denver, Phoenix, San Antonio again, Oklahoma City, and then December 1st, you play Utah. Like there's a lot of wins in that stretch, right? Now you're looking at like San Antonio should be able to beat them, even with Wemby taking that second year leap. New Orleans, the Lakers have matched up really well with New Orleans in the AD era. Utah, I don't think is going to be very good. They're going to be tough. Like at the beginning of the season, for some reason, Utah has always been really good. And then they kind of realize, or their front office does everything that they can to start tanking. Like it was funny when Lauri Markkanen signed his deal. It's really crazy. I think part of that deal is that in February he actually has to sprain his wrist and missed 3 weeks in that stretch. If he's still on the Utah Jazz, well, he's still going to be on the Utah Jazz. So he has to miss, and every injury that he gets, he has to add an additional like 20% to his injury recovery time. It's really interesting. I think the league should probably look into those clauses. But Utah's going to be, you know, they're going to be beatable. Orlando's going to be better this year. But I still think, you know, it's at least a coin flip against Orlando. Denver got worse, but Denver has always, because of Jokic, had the Lakers number. Jamal Murray also did cardio this summer for the first time in his life. So maybe, you know, he starts the season a little stronger than he normally does. Then you have Phoenix again. Crazy. Phoenix, the Lakers are going to get three of their four games against Phoenix taken care of before the new year, which, you know, I'm really kind of curious to see who that gives the advantage to, because clearly the Lakers are looking to make additions to this roster, some tweaks here and there to the roster, and you'd like to have at least like half of your games against Phoenix after you've made some of those tweaks. But also on that same coin, if you play that team often enough, and you probably know eventually they're going to come up in your playoff hunt, whether it's the hunt for the playoffs or maybe you match up against them in a series, you know, it'll be nice to have that much data going into those transaction windows, understanding what you need to do to deal with Phoenix, who are probably going to be better next year than they were last year. I think Bud makes more sense for that roster than Vogel did. I think they're roughly, they're kind of the Spider-Man meme head coach, you know, situation there. It's just that Vogel is defensive minded, whereas Bud is more offensive minded. And I think if you're going to have all of those guys on your roster and be that far tilted on the offensive side of the ball, you need a coach who's going to optimize your offense there. So I understood them swapping out Vogel for Bud. And then, you know, you look at You know, their roster, I thought they did really well on the veteran minimum market this year. Tyus Jones is somebody who I was wishing the Lakers might be able to steal if he was going to be available at the veteran minimum. So they're going to be pretty good. They're going to be tough. And I think they are going to matter to the Lakers throughout the season. And it'll be nice to have a decent data sample as the Lakers get ready to start kind of making tweaks for whatever teams they think they're going to see eventually. And I think Phoenix is one of them. So you got Phoenix and then San Antonio, and then you have OKC. So OKC is going to be tough. I think they're going to be the best team, the best regular season team in the league next year. They might even be just the best team in the league next year. I think they're that good. And then you go to Utah again, and you know, that's another stretch where you rack up Hooper's X. You rack up another six or seven of those 10 games, six or seven wins of those 10 games. And now all of a sudden, 20 games into the season, you're 5, 6, 7 games above 500. That should put you right there in that like 3-4 seed, I think, in the Western Conference. So as you know, I think it's like after December 15th, you can stack veteran minimum contracts. And the first kind of grouping of players become eligible to be traded. I think at that point, you know, if the Lakers are in that 3-4 or 3-5 seed range, Rob would have no excuse but to really start looking hard and being, you know, very aggressive in improving the team. And I think that has to be the goal here, is for the Lakers to get good enough that Rob doesn't think that, you know, there needs to be some miracle to, you know, for him to pull off to get the Lakers into legitimate contention for a championship. Because the last couple of years, the last year especially, right? He basically, not the last couple, but the last year at the deadline, he basically said, like, we aren't, you know, through his actions, we aren't good enough to improve this roster or to, you know, to necessitate even marginal upgrades to this roster. I obviously greatly disagreed. And you know, that we know how that season wound up playing out, right? They had to fight, scratch and claw to get into the play-in game. And then they had to get through those play-in games or that play-in game. And then you got knocked out rather quickly by Denver. And, you know, that was your season. And, you know, I would argue that a couple marginal upgrades would have made that Denver series significantly more interesting than it was. It was already pretty close as it was by 5-game series standards. So, yeah, that at least is a goal. How feasible I feel that goal is another conversation altogether. But those first 10, 20 games or so is going to be a very serious opportunity that the Lakers need to take full advantage of to make sure they basically force the issue on their front office. Hey, we did our part here. We are in legitimate contention in this brutal Western Conference. You need to go and do what you are paid very, very well to do and stop with the, man, it's so difficult. The CBA is difficult. Making deals in this league is difficult. All that shit. Like, if the Lakers are that, if they do what we're talking about here and they force the hand, like, there would be hell to pay for the Lakers front office watching the team do that and then not doing anything despite that. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into your questions here. And a reminder, those of you who are watching live, please do hit that subscribe button here on YouTube. If you guys are checking this out in audio form and you want to watch it in video form, you can head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge to find us there. We do have some fun announcements to make as we get closer to the season. really like your boy had himself an off season. I'll just say that we have some awesome things lined up for you, whether it's here in the lounge, whether it's, I have another project that I'm excited to announce that isn't necessarily Lakers specific, but I think you guys will dig it all the same. We have, we have a ton of stuff going on, and I can't wait to be able to tell you all about it. But that is going to do it for my navel gazing. I'm going to answer your guys' questions. I'm going to do this a little out of order here because of the name of this podcast. But at AlexAC717 asks, any updates on the health of Gabe Vando or JHS? So here's what I will, like, here's my giant big disclaimer that, like, is in neon lights behind me, you know. Injury information in the NBA is already very difficult to suss out. You have team sourcing there, you have player sourcing, you have league sourcing, and you basically have to, like, throw a dart. Like, when you're trying to do this from my perspective, where I'm, like, you know, very new to this aspect of the business, it is very difficult to get a grasp on injury information. And, you know, it got to the point last year where I was like, you know, I'm not going to do it anymore. Like, that's, I'm not going to pursue those stories. I will find out basically when everybody, like, I'll always have a little bit more information, I would hope, than everybody else. But I'm not going to, you know, last year I looked like an asshole. You know, I said that, you know, I was told that Gabe wasn't going to come back, and that Vanderbilt wasn't going to come back. And Gabe wound up coming back like a week later. And I don't believe we saw Vanderbilt from that point moving forward. So I guess I went one for two or whatever. And it just, I hate getting stuff wrong. So I'm going to be very, very cautious in the information that I offer to you as it regards to these guys. And the disclaimer that I would add to even all of that is, in the off season, for one thing, people are on vacation. People are taking their breaks. People are kind of checked out and aren't answering their phone as much when you're asking around about this. Those players themselves being on vacation, essentially, in order for my team sourcing to, you know, be able to tell me anything about, you know, various guys or specific guys, they need to have seen those guys to be able to talk to me about them. And even there, right, you have HIPAA, so, like, there's always that shroud of secrecy there as well, too. So I say all of that to say that I am going to be extremely conservative in releasing information about these guys right now. But what I will say is that, you know, Gabe basically exited the season with the intent to be able to take the off season, you know, focus on some rehab, but he felt very confident that he was going to be able to enter next season at 100%. And the team did too. Jared Vanderbilt exited the season with not as much optimism on that, on those fronts, as Gabe did. You know, you heard JJ Redick at his intro presser basically say that Jared Vanderbilt was still rehabbing there. And I believe at that point wasn't participating in basketball, you know, basketball, whatever the term is. I'm blanking. It's very late. I'm very tired. So I'll say with Vanderbilt that, you know, he's made pretty consistent progress this off season, but I'm not as willing with Vanderbilt to just be like, oh yeah, he's definitely going to be healthy, and it's basically an addition to the roster compared to last season. I need to see him out there, and I need to see him stay out there before I'm really willing to do that in my analysis of this team. And the stuff that I've kind of heard on that front, aligns with that inclination anyway. That it's like, yeah, he should be good to go. We think he's going to be ready and 100% at the beginning of the season. But it was kind of a tricky injury that he was dealing with. I believe he eventually, you know, got surgery on it to address it. And it's just, you know, it's just one of those things that it just, you just never quite know how an individual body is going to react to a surgery, physical therapy, attempts at rehab and all of those things. It, you just, you can't know until you get into that, those kinds of situations. And with Vanderbilt, as we saw last year, it was a very frustrating process. And, you know, I think that frustration carried into the offseason. Remember, he was cleared to play, but then didn't play. Was super fishy there. I don't know what was going on there. You know, some of it, I think, was Darvin basically wanting to be very conservative and stick with the guys that got him to that point against the Denver Nuggets, or with the opportunity to play the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs. But I think part of it also is that, like, you know, it was a very tricky and frustrating rehabilitation for Jared Vanderbilt. And I think that's how he essentially exited the season too. Was like, yeah, I'm also still pretty frustrated about how this season went, and my outlook for this off season is a little murkier than I would like it to be. So, you have that. And then Schifino, man, it's weird. For one thing, he had back surgery, which is always very, very, very complicated. He, obviously, I didn't think he looked that good even before he started dealing with the injury stuff, but he had the injury stuff right at the beginning of camp, I believe. And that kind of limited him in camp. And then when he, you know, got out there for some of the preseason games, he looked like a step behind and remained basically a step behind. And then he started dealing with the injury stuff and, you know, really kind of feels like just lost his entire rookie season. And I guess, you know, it's a good and a bad thing in some regards, because it was such a frustrating season for him physically. It's hard to analyze him fairly, taking everything, all of the context into account there. That makes it really difficult to do. So I guess to a certain extent that, you know, maybe helps those of you who want to, like Raj wants to continue to hold on to hope that this guy's going to be good. I don't see it, but whatever. You know, for him though, like he was practicing with the team during summer league. So he's cleared to practice, but wasn't cleared to play in summer league games that aren't exactly the most intense versions of basketball that you're ever going to come across. So that whole situation was really kind of weird. I'm going to be blunt and say that was a super weird situation that I think had a lot of people kind of scratching their heads. And I think some people pretty kind of frustrated with how that went. I think summer league in general was a bit of a farce, because JJ should have been coaching the team, I thought, in Vegas, and passed on that opportunity. And again, I would consider it an opportunity to get out there and actually coach and put yourself into some of those situations before they matter. And then the guy that they put in charge of coaching that team gets fired between summer league and the season, training camps and stuff like that. So you don't really get to glean much from that experience. And when you have, like, when the focus is on development and you aren't able to really glean anything or learn anything from that experience, it's just a big wasted opportunity, which is something you can't quite afford if your focus is on youth and development. You also, like, the Lakers didn't have their coaching staff in place until well after the summer league was basically done. That makes it they didn't announce their head of player development until after the summer league was done. So you basically lost a summer that your player dev guy could step in there and, you know, develop guys. That kind of sucked. And, you know, for Jalen Huchefino in particular, it's like, yeah, he's healthy enough to play in practice, but he's not healthy enough to play in games, which was even more frustrating because that team clearly needed a point guard. And that's obviously where he plays. So nobody winds up benefiting from any of that. Like, I had fun at Summer League. I always have fun at Summer League because I get to see a whole bunch of people that I care quite a bit about. But all things considered, that was a giant clusterfuck by the Lakers. Like, just top to bottom, what are you doing? Like, what are you trying to do here? And how far did you get from actually doing any of what you were trying to do? So I think Schifino is healthy-ish. I think he'll be good to go to be a full participant in training camp and hopefully in some of those preseason games. The Lakers are hoping to get something from him on the court this season. And whether that's, I mean, ideally, you need, if you basically go the first 2 years of a first rounder's career and he doesn't really do anything for you on a basketball court, that's bust territory. Context be damned. That's kind of tough. And eventually, like, you, if you can't be healthy when you're at your youngest in the league, then there are some legitimate questions there about your availability. So the Lakers kind of need to see at some point what they have in this guy. And it's going to be difficult for him to get as many reps as he would like, even in the G League this year, when Bronny is going to be playing a lot of point guard down there with the G League. And yeah, you could play the two of them side by side. Fino is more of a scoring guard, whereas Bronny is more of a facilitating guard. But, you know, again, like, this is just a matter of practicality here. And the Lakers kind of need to get a lot more out of Schifino than they did last season. And, you know, hopefully that starts with having him healthy and ready to participate in training camp here in a matter of a few weeks.